Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. I'm Tim, and with me is a man who wants Akira Taue to be in the Hall of Fame, Tanner. Tanner, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. And by Hall of Fame, I of course mean the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Correct.
I think, yeah. Obviously, yeah, like Chipper Jones is there now. Like, I think Akira Taue is the next logical step for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame to be legit.
Yes, it is a sham without Akira Taue in it.
I agree.
That's 100% fact. So
It's weird to me. Little baseball tangent real quick. Weird to me because, you know, Chipper Jones did his induction speech. You know, he played baseball for over two decades. He went first in his Hall of Fame speech yesterday because his wife could go into labor at any second. I'm like, wow, wild that Chipper Jones is about to have a kid. We'll never know him as baseball player Chipper Jones. I thought it was a little wild. Blew my mind.
Congratulations on the procreation there, Chipper Jones.
Very nice of you. Yeah, awesome to know it still works at your age.
in his mid-40s.
Yeah, mid-40s.
But we are not here to talk about the reproductive habits of people who just got inducted to Hall of Fames. However, we are talking about... I like to kind of call this is a milestone match. Like, this is a match that... for all intents and purposes, could be considered, at the time, the best match ever. Like, this is a match that I think a lot of people either have seen or have heard of, or have at least seen the finish. I know if you're listening to this podcast, you have definitely at least seen the finish of this match.
Absolutely. It's iconic.
It is. But we are we're talking about on the – basically, it's 25th anniversary. Just happened. From the absolutely loaded finale of the Summer Action Series 2 for All Japan Pro Wrestling in 1993. July 29th is the date. We are talking about Stan Hansen against Kenta Kobashi. So Tanner, this match, I think trying to really set it up is basically a fool's errand at this point. It's pretty widely considered one of the greatest matches of all time. But talk about what this match for you personally, having to go back and watch the All Japan matches of your this right in the thick of perhaps the best time for wrestling ever, 1993. Just talk about what this match means to you.
Well, it definitely is like a really cool moment in time where it's before Kobashi really reaches the level of a Misawa and a Kawada, and it's while he's not like full on junior Kobashi still, but it's like still trying to get his name like up to the level of a Misawa and a Kawada, and Hansen just gives it to him in this match. Like, you know, Hansen is one of those guys, like, he'll give you your lumps, but he makes you work for your shit to get into the match. Like, Hansen's not just going to hand you stuff, and I agree. This, I mean, bare minimum, this is, in my opinion, a top five match of the 90s. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal. And, like, it's so weird, top five match of the 90s, and it may not be the best match from 93, but absolute phenomenal match. But I agree with you. This is definitely the best time for wrestling, and this match still holds up because I hadn't watched it in, like, 3 or 4 years until... couple of days ago.
it's a match that it was a match that when tape trading was a thing, it was along with the Misawa Kawada June 3rd 1994 match, the end of the Real World Tag League 1993, the Williams Kobashi match. Like, these were the, like, the sought after matches of its time, and this was at the top of it because of the finish. Now, we're not going to talk about it right now because we don't want to blow our load less than 5 minutes into this damn thing. But, you know, the one thing about this match and the time frame, and this will probably be as much as the background as we'll get into it, is like you said, Kobashi in 1993, it's kind of weird to think of it like this, but he is essentially stepping into the native role that Jumbo had left. So
yeah.
Jumbo at the end of 1992, he started getting sick. That's when the hepatitis was found, and he stepped away from being an active competitor. At the top of the card, he would come back and do some kind of, you know, comedy or showcase matches. He'll team with Baba as an old man team every now and then. But basically, after Misawa defeated Stan Hansen for the Triple Crown, and he got the run with it, you know, Kawada became his number one rival. Hansen was still right there, but they still needed kind of another native to step up. And Kobashi, as you mentioned, he had the team with Kikuchi. He was basically second in command to Misawa at this point, after Misawa and Kawada officially broke off from each other, the Super Generation Army versus Kawada's Holy Demon Army. And so, you know, Kobashi was basically like a mid-level guy in the Champions Carnival. He, I think, was seventh earlier in 1993. Hansen won it for the second year in a row. And so with Misawa and Kawada main eventing this card, you know, Kobashi was definitely still below Taue and definitely below Kawada and Misawa. But he was also the guy that had the best shot at Stan Hansen, if that makes sense, outside of Misawa. Kawada faced Hansen in February and didn't beat him, although that match is amazing.
Yeah.
My God, that match is amazing.
Hansen had a great 93.
Hansen in 93.
Yeah, good Lord.
But these two faced off in a match in the Champions Carnival that was extremely good and was probably the first inkling of Kobashi being truly level with a guy like Hansen, who basically was the gatekeeper to get to the top of the card. And so this is the first time they met since that match. And the thing I love about this match is that it doesn't let up. It's 20 minutes, and it just, from the get-go, there is, like, Kobashi goes right after him. He doesn't let up, and it really kind of tells you there's a sense of urgency for Kobashi to want to step up and try and take the moment from Hansen.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things, because if I'm not mistaken, and it's very possible I am, was 93 Kobashi's first Champion Carnival? Because I feel
he had been in it before.
Okay.
He had been in it before, yeah.
Okay. I was because I know he missed one pretty early in his career from some small injury. But anyways.
That might have been 1991. I'm going to look that up really quick, but go ahead.
But anyways, Kobashi was still in his proven himself stage, because Kobashi, at the time, before Jumbo had gotten sick, was kind of being polished as being the junior ace, because he didn't have, at the time, didn't have as much mass as Misawa or Kawada, and he was seen as, and he was had a much quicker offense, a sort of a high-impact offense with the flying shoulder blocks. You know, obviously would add the moonsault and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So him going toe-to-toe with Hansen in 93, just, you know, months after kind of getting a heavyweight push, it's just cool, just because you really, like now, when junior heavyweights graduate to heavyweight, you don't really see that immediate, like, super push, which I guess besides the Bucks in recent times, and Omega 2 to an extent, but like it's nothing to this extent, because there's no like gatekeeper in wrestling now that's as good as Stan Hansen, which is kind of weird to say that a foreigner was a gatekeeper in a Japanese company, but it's true, because Hansen was constantly in that like number one, number two contendership. So a win over Hansen was huge to anyone at the time. And like, it took years for the Four Pillars to even get wins over Hansen. It's not like they got pushed, they beat him. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, Hansen has a phenomenal record against the Four Pillars.
Yeah. And the thing is, like we mentioned, the Kawada match earlier that year, you know, Kawada was essentially the guy that was Misawa's main rival. Misawa had beaten Hansen for the title months earlier, and Hansen getting his shot, or Kawada facing off Hansen, was a big deal, because, you know, if Kawada beats Hansen, then it's pretty clear that he's the number two guy in the company. Not just, you know, because Because Hansen, remember, Hansen had been there for over a decade. He is still a top draw. Mm-hmm. He is still a legendary figure. And even though Jumbo's not around anymore, Hansen is still probably the biggest player of that generation that is still around. And so, you know, Hansen is still kind of the guy who is considered the gatekeeper. Whereas, you know, Kawada had been mainly like a generational rival as opposed to somebody who maybe people thought was a true number two. And so, yeah, Hansen is the wall you have to break down. And Kobashi, having not beaten him before, but Ben, the guy who, like you said, his high-impact offense is the one probably that matched up with Hansen the most, puts together this match where he just goes after him from the start. He really just doesn't give him a chance to breathe. He is on him from the start for 5, 6, 7 minutes. And he's hitting him with everything he can. He's freaking crushing him with lariats. He's diving off the apron onto him. He's hitting shoulder tackles. He hits a DDT on the floor. Hitting leg drops. I mean, he's doing a bunch of great stuff. And then Hansen gets this, oh man, in a just a nasty spot. The first of two nasty spots that Kobashi would take. Does a corner charge while Hansen is slumped down in the corner. And Hansen gets his boot up, but basically breaks Kobashi's cheekbone with it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's bad. Like, his face is swollen after that. And then this match, somehow, I have no idea how, but it gets kicked up into another gear because then Hansen just starts doing the craziest shit ever.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. Like, you know, you expect, like, oh, my whole eye shut. Let's work a little bit quicker. And they just...
No, let's speed it up. Let's go.
Yeah, let's speed it up. And Hansen's not a small guy, like, either. No. Like, I know everybody listening to this knows who Stan Hansen is, or I would hope so, at least. But Stan Hansen's like 260, 270, and he's like a little...
310. He's like 310, yeah.
310. You're right, because he's like 93. Yeah, he's over 300 pounds, and he's a little bit older, too. Like, he's not this young spring chick. And
yeah, he's young, early 40s, if I remember right at this point.
Yeah, he can haul ass. Like, if there's somebody like him, it feels weird, but there's nobody that you can compare to Stan Hansen, you know, one of the greatest of all time. But, like, there's nobody on his level that's, like, that old, that big, and that can haul ass like that. Like, Hansen was busting out topes in 93 still. Yeah. Like, it's wild. And then you have, like, Kobashi with the injured eyes just, like, trying to keep up with Hansen this whole match. Yeah. And Hansen just, oh, my God. I know we've done squashes the past couple of weeks, and while this match is not a squash by any sense of the word, Hansen beats the hell out of Kobashi.
Yeah. Like, the sequence where, I mean, we talk about transitions, but the sequence where Hansen weathers that storm and finally goes on offense again is that boot, and then he does basically a tope off the apron. Like,
yeah.
It was like a running splash shoulder block thing to a prone Kobashi on the outside. Then he power bombs him on the non-padded part of the floor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, like, and then he goes back on offense. And it's just like, oh, my God. Just,
yeah, it's
that's
nasty.
One way to go back on offense. It's nasty. And that is the other thing I liked about Hansen here is that, you know, he doesn't take Kobashi lightly after that. Like, he really, like, he is hitting him with hard shots. He is really smashing him with knees and elbows and does his awesome, great second rope splash. Like, he gets after it here. And then, you know, Kobashi springs up, freaking starts, you know, like, pumping himself up. He takes a couple of shots. And then we go into this ridiculous finishing stretch where, like, Kobashi's trading shots. He's going toe-to-toe with Stan Hansen and winning. Like, he's knocking him down with shots, kicks to the face, clotheslines. This great time where he gets them down finally, and he starts just dropping leg drops on him. And they're in sequence. So he does a standing one. He does a run off the ropes, then does a jumping one. Then he does one where he springs off the second rope and hits one.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the top and hits one. It's this great just, like, crescendo to an awesome near fall, one of the great near falls of the match. And then it's just like he goes to the sleeper hold, which he'd used before as kind of his main submission hold. And because of what had happened with some other submission holds at the time, it's a big deal. Like, it's actually bought as something that could finish the match.
Yep.
And Hansen, fights out of it. And then we go to the finishing stretch, which, wow. Tanner, what can you say about the last 5 minutes of this match?
I mean, it's one thing I like about Baba booking is he likes finisher spam. Like, if you watch any real All Japan match, like, you can see that. But there's never any, like, multiple finishers. It's like different moves every time. Overkill. Yeah, and it's not overkill. Like, but it's something new every time. Like, it's not like a modern, even like a modern New Japan or All Japan match where they're just hitting knee strikes or rainmakers or whatever. It's like different stuff. And like here, it's just like such a variety. And oh my god, like, it just, and the crowd. We should mention, obviously, with any mid-90s All Japan crowd, crowd's on fire, like, losing their absolute shit. Like, throw all, notions that you think, oh, Japan crowds are really quiet and respectful. No, this crowd is losing their mind at this match at this point. And it's just, it makes for something truly special. And, like, what's wild, like, oh my god, the whole match is just wild, but the finishing stretch in particular is just like holy shit level stuff.
Yeah, so Kobashi hits the moonsault, but he only gets a two count. And so Kobashi at this point didn't really have like a trump card to pull out, like a move that outside of the moonsault was like, okay, I can depend on this no matter what happens to try and finish him off. And it's Stan Hansen, so it makes sense, right? Like, the way that Stan is like, you got to do more than that. And so after a little bit more back and forth, Kobashi tries for the second one. He tries to scale to the top. Hansen stops him from doing it, kind of pulls on him from behind, kind of sits him on the top rope. And then they just start like just knocking the shit out of each other. Freaking Kobashi's ramming Hansen's head into his knee, and then Hansen's headbutting Kobashi chopping him, Hansen's chopping him, and then it happens. It happens.
God.
Hansen just freaking does like a full 180 cock and just unleashes a Western Lariat right across Kobashi's jawline. Like, right across the jawline. And Kobashi tumbles basically onto the back of his neck, falls on his face, and he's out. And he should be. And that's what gets the pin.
Yeah, and Hansen, and it's so good because Hansen sells it, where Hansen pretty much just collapses on Kobashi for the pinfall.
Yeah.
And like, he can really sell his
dead weight over to get the
pin. Yeah. Yeah, and it really sells Hansen being like, oh shit, I almost lost to this, not rookie, but like to this young newcomer. This
upstart, right.
Yeah, this upstart. And it's, oh my god, and it's insane. But like, words cannot do that Western Lariat off the rope justice. No. It is like the most perfect, beautifully brutal Lariat of all time. Like, it is so crisp, so clean, and it's, oh my god, like, it's something that truly has to be seen. Like, this match, if somebody right now that had been watching wrestling for a little bit was like, Tanner, recommend me a match, this would be like one of the first three matches I recommended, because it's easy to get to, there is story, but it doesn't hinder, like, you don't need the story for this match to matter, and it's just nonstop, and it's short, like, relatively short.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes,
Yeah, which, imagine telling somebody now that a major match in Japan going 20 minutes or less. It's so beautiful.
I had not seen this match yet, because while I wasn't into the tape trading scene when I first found out about it, I did read Death Valley Driver video review, and this was what was said about it in their 100th issue, where they listed all these matches that you should see. And this is you know, Pete Stein. I just remember reading this, having never seen the match, and it was like, oh my God, I need to see this. So this is what he says. So Kobashi somehow finds the strength to come back, and the rest of the match has the triple tough veteran and fiery youngster throwing every move they know at each other. The finish is my all-time favorite. Kobashi slams Stan and goes for the moonsault, but Stan recovers and keeps him from going for it. He steps out to the apron, and the two trade slaps, headbutts, and elbows, at which point Stan absolutely, in all caps, obliterates Kobashi with an honest and for true lariat from hell and gets the pin. You hear the reaction when Stan hits it. 16,300 people collectively screaming, oh my God, he's dead. Most of them don't even bother counting along with Joe Higuchi when Stan pins him. That's how final this looks. And I like remember just reading that and just being like, holy shit. Like, what is this finish? Like, what are you talking about? And then of course, when video becomes a little bit easier to come by, me being a youngster with no money, I wasn't really trading tapes at that point. But once you finally see it, it all comes together. And it was this match that had a legend to it. It was an aura about it back then. And that has remained, to be perfectly honest with you. It's been 25 years. But that is kind of the match that people point to as like the beginning of Kento Kobashi, GOAT material type of wrestler. Like that is the match that kind of kicks it off for them.
Yeah, like if it's not the 92 tag match, it's this match. It's absolutely no argument about it. Like it's what kicks off Kobashi's like GOAT singles competitor for sure. Like he just goes on a 12, 13, 14, 15 year stretch of him just producing classics. I mean every year, like his retirement match is still probably the best final match of a professional wrestler ever. And and what's so cool about this is I hate to be wrong because I'm definitely not an All Japan historian by any means, but did Hansen ever hit that particular Western lariat again, or was this like
That is the only time he ever hit a Western lariat like that ever.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's
interesting too.
Okay,
yeah, I was gonna say. So the production on that is obviously what makes it. Budokan, the way it was set up and the way All Japan did their setup for their ring is they always had that amazing downward diagonal kind of cross post shot. It's iconic. It's like one of the more iconic shots anybody can remember from All Japan at the time. And then being able to use that as part of the finish, zoomed in on that, it just, like, I bet people watching it live couldn't believe what had happened. But, man, that is one of those times where TV production really adds to a finish.
Absolutely.
How incredible that is, you know?
Absolutely. It's so beautifully shot. And, again, like, Hansen never hitting that, like that particular variation of a Western lariat again, just like sells I don't even know, finale of the match, I guess, where like he needed that. He needed a very particular move, like essentially a top rope Western lariat, and Kobashi takes a hell of a neck bump off of it. And oh my God, like it, I can't think off the top of my head of a finish I like more in a singular match.
Yeah.
Like I really can't.
It's insane. Like it's to this day I think my favorite finish to a match ever.
Yeah.
It's kind of as far as the way Baba booked. So a couple things to keep in mind here too. So Baba's at ringside doing commentary for this match.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, it's not known that he's the booker at the time, obviously, but he, I think, is able to give some insights. I wish I knew Japanese to kind of glean what he was saying here. But the other thing is, a couple months earlier in that Champions Carnival match, there's a pretty incredible finish there too, where Kobashi tries to come off the second rope with one of his tackles, and Hansen lariats him out of midair.
Out of midair, yep.
And that was that handheld was found years after. Like maybe mid-2000s, maybe late 2000s. I think it was Ditch who found it. But that, like, people thought that that Larry was better than this Larry. And I was like, okay, let's pump the brakes here.
Yeah, let's calm down. That's a
great one. But like, everything about that finish, like, it ends the match. It's probably the ultimate vet telling a youngster, no, not today. Like, it's like the ultimate, like, let's put a stop to this.
Yeah.
But it also is just a reminder of, you know, one of the things that Stan Hansen knew what to do, because we've talked about Kobashi a lot, but we really haven't talked about Hansen that much, is that as Hansen saw the people around him getting more athletic and I think being a bit more creative with their offense, Hansen just trying to figure out different ways to hit the lariat.
Yeah.
It was the most protected move in the company. He knew as soon as he hit it that there was going to be something that was – it wasn't going to be kicked out of. If it was going to be kicked out of, it had to be – there had to be some shenanigans around it. And so him doing it in that particular instant and thinking, you know what, that's a great way to counter Kobashi trying to go for the moonsault. Like, it is remarkable that that finish exists in a way, but – all the credit in the world to Hansen for kind of figuring out a way to in defeat make Kobashi look strong, because Kobashi, to be perfectly honest, he basically dominated the match. He had 75% of the match.
Oh, absolutely.
Essentially. But Hansen had the greatest of all equalizers, and I think him using it the way he did, it was perhaps the biggest sign of ultimate respect of where Kobashi had come in 1993.
Yeah, and again, never used it again. Hansen goes on to wrestle for 7 years after this, and he never uses that particular Western Lariat again. I agree. I think it's like the sign of ultimate respect. And like, you know, now listening to Stan Hansen interviews, like, Hansen has so much respect for Kobashi and really all those, all four of the pillars. He has such a high bar. He holds them in such high regard. So it's something that, right, you know, still 25, you know, 30 years later, that he still just loves those guys. So it's really cool that it wasn't just like a bit. It was like actual, like, realness behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it kind of just shows you how tight that group at the top was. There was a huge natural rivalry, of course, between Kawada and Misawa, just because of them having it basically since high school.
Yeah.
You know, you had Kobashi, you had Taue trying to find his way. And of course, we don't have to explain how great Akira Taue is. We don't have to go that route. But like, but before we go, so we have to keep in mind here, 1993. So Hansen has the Kawada match in February, which is a tremendous match. He has this match. He has this match, right? He has his work in the tag league, which is very good. Kobashi in 93. A lot of people think Kobashi's 93, perhaps one of the greatest single years of all time, his 93. Kobashi has some showcase matches in the Carnival. He has this match. He has the Steve Williams match in August, the infamous backdrop driver match where he takes three of them. He has the Real World Tag League final match, which is probably the Kobashi showcase match. He has the first Kawada Misawa tag match, where it's Kawada and Taue versus Misawa and Kobashi for the first time in a couple of weeks before this. Like, There's a good reason why people think Kobashi's 1993 is one of the greatest of all time, but this is the reason. Like, this is the reason that anybody thinks that.
Yeah, this is the cherry on top of Kobashi's 93, that, like, bar none. That, like, this is an all-timer match.
Yeah, and I think I've liked other matches more with Kobashi in them.
Yeah,
but I think this is my favorite Kobashi performance. I love that. We talked about the Takayama match, right? The Takayama match is a great match in its own right. But this is, I think, when I think about Kobashi, I think this is probably the pinnacle of what people think of Kobashi. Fiery babyface, explosive offense, the never say die, the guy who's going up against all adversity, doesn't know when to quit, and it takes what Hansen did at the end to finish him off, you know? And, you know, the best pure baby face that Japan probably has ever had, in a lot of ways. And this is, I think, the thing you hold up for that reason.
Yep. I mean, I can't say it any better. Like, it's probably my favorite Kobashi performance. I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, I love that Takayama match so much. Yeah. And even some of his lesser, like, pimped matches, like, God, yeah, the Nagata match in Noah and stuff like that. But this is an absolute all-timer in every sense of the word. So go watch it. If you've never watched it, go watch it. It will not be a waste of your time. You can listen to this podcast, go watch the match, and be done in less than an hour. Boom, bam, ma'am. You're in and out. It's great.
Yeah. So we'll put a link to this in the description. But yeah, like this, man, it was great to revisit this match because you do kind of need a reminder of just how great these two were at the peak of their powers. And they got after it. And you're just not going to get much better than this. You really won't.
No.
It's one of the best matches of all time for a reason. We try and stray from that. But this was kind of a no-brainer with it being 25 years since it, kind of like the Kendori Hokuda match. But we're happy that you listened to this. We're happy that you wanted to revisit this match with us. But damn, go out and watch it. It's well worth your time. So.
Absolutely,
Tanner. Where can folks find you on the interwebs, Tanner?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Tanner1495, and I also co-host another podcast with some of my friends called the All You Can Hear Podcast, and you can follow us at AYCH Podcast and find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play just by searching All You Can Hear.
Nice. I can be followed at Mr. Tim Livingston. You can also follow at PPW Petaluma for the show I'm running. I'm going to be at SCI. By the time you hear this, I will have already been at SCI, actually.
You're going to see Too Cold Scorpio win the whole damn thing.
I will. I'm going to see a Too Cold Scorpio, PCO, Corey Hollis, Nick Gage final. It's going to be amazing.
God, what a great final that would be.
I hope that's it. But I'm also... Someone might die in that final. If that's the case, rip one of those four guys. I will also be a part of the future show. Me and Dylan Hales, friend of the podcast, will be doing the commentary for that show. That will most likely come out with the other SCI shows when that is available via Powerbomb TV. So check that out when it comes out. If you've listened to this and I saw you at SCI, I hope we had a great time. I know we had a great time. Check out the SCI 2018 when it becomes available on video on demand. So, Tanner, I will be a fully functional member of the Southern Wrestling Twitter hemisphere when I return to our next podcast, our 20th Match of the Week podcast. I don't know what I get. Do I get anything for being a part of it? Is there something I get?
Let's see. I'm looking through the notes here, and I don't know. We can maybe pull some strings. I can maybe get some cookout delivered to your house.
Oh, Cheerwine shakes. Let's go. Sorry, Lane. Not sorry, Lane. No, not at all. So. God, cookout. Very good. Very good, man. So, well, thanks for joining us, guys. We'll be back soon with our 20th episode of the Match of the Week podcast here on the PlayStation Nation.
See you soon.